Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
John chapter 15 and from verse 13. John chapter 15 and from verse 13. The scripture says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. Greater love. Jesus benchmarked love with an exchange. Jesus, by this scripture, taught us that love is in categories. Now, when I say I love you, and you say you love me, we need to explain what we're really talking about. Because you love me, maybe you just love me because I'm anointed. Maybe you don't give 2 cents about me. Maybe you love me because I just got my Lamborghini. And when you have a Lamborghini, you suddenly look very attractive. There's something about a Lamborghini that makes the ugliest of men. You're all of a sudden, there's this huskiness in your voice. You talk properly. Because there's a Lambo somewhere in that. There's somewhere in between your voice. There's a Lambo there. You don't go to Dubai and then in 3 days your accent changes. You understand? But when you have a Lambo in Dubai, someone calls you from Nigeria. I say, oh, hi Kenny. Say, you know, this is not the way we talk to ourselves when we're. I say, hi Kenny. Because there's a Lambo somewhere in that voice. So yes, I know you love me, and I know I love you. But can we test this love? Peradventure, it is not within the context of that which Jesus will call greater. That which Jesus calls greater love. Jesus benchmarked the love that he has by saying the evidence of that love is his willingness to die so that you can live. So this is serious stuff here. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and from verse 8, Paul was teaching us and he said, God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Jesus didn't wait for us to measure up. Jesus didn't wait for us to become the standard. He didn't wait for us to measure up to his idea of what a real Christian should be. He didn't wait for us to measure up. If Jesus died for a morally good person, he would not know the value. Jesus died for criminals. Jesus died for lesbians. Jesus died for gays. Jesus died for murderers, criminals. Because he said, he that is forgiving much, also what? He loves more. When you are standing in there in the dock and you are waiting for your sentence and the judge says, you remind me of my son that died. Therefore, I'm extending mercy to you. Do you realize that in a court of law, the final pronouncement, at least in some parts of the world where they don't really have a jury, depends on how the judge feels. If the judge says he can't see any evidence against you, he can't see it. Even if the evidence are so overwhelming that even a blind bat can see it. But if the judge says I can't see anything, then you take it to the appeal court. And if the judge at the appeal court is also a brother of the judge that passed your case at the high court, then you have to do a lot of convincing. Because even though the enemy said, you speak in tongues, you said you're a child of God, and yet still live like this, And then Jesus says, who can lay a charge against God's elect? That why God does not ratify or support or justify sin, yet he has cleansed it and made provision for you to walk in victory. That you do not gain victory over a weakness by struggling with it. You gain victory over a weakness by refusing to struggle with it. That is why you find that every time you tell yourself, I'm not going to go to his house this week. I'm not going to go to his house. You notice the pressure and the tension increases. The moment you just look at it, Paul said, reckon yourself dead. Reckon. The word reckon means consider. So you don't gain victory over sin. You don't connect with what Jesus has done by trying to be a Christian. You look at what he has done on the cross and say, that is me. So it's a posture of faith that has no emotion to it. It has no emotion to it. You will not feel free in a thousand years. You will not feel free. But what does the language of faith say? If any man shall declare in his heart, shall say in his heart, shall believe in his heart, and declare with his mouth, he shall be saved. So it is very important to understand that the greatest things that pertain to the kingdom are concealed in the primary concepts of the kingdom, such as love. If you don't understand the love of God, you will not understand any other thing. And it seems to be so basic, that's why we gloss over it. The only reason that God found within himself to send us a savior was because he loved the world. He didn't send his son to the world because of Albert Einstein. He didn't say, oh, these guys have potential, let me send someone to help them. No. Oh, those people are suffering. They are suffering. In Nigeria, everybody is suffering. Let me send a savior. No. He said, but he looked at his world. He looked at his creation. If I allow my work to derail, to be destroyed like this, it now becomes a defining factor of God's character. That which God made, he could not sustain. Are you with me? That which God made, he could not sustain. So there was nothing God ever invested in until he has first loved that thing. That's why you are still breathing. That's why you committed sin last week and you still woke up this morning. Because somewhere in God's plan, he still has something for you in the future. The day God looks at himself and says, we are done, that's it, you are going. Let all the prayer warriors gather with all the watchers in the third realm and all the prophetic angels and psalmists and worship. Let them gather and do their thing. When you are done drinking your pepper water, carry your bag and come. It's just that. So the moment your perspective to God becomes colored with the brush of his love, then you find that even that which you consider to be the most uncomfortable of situations becomes easy to deal with. Because you know there is something in this matter that you don't know yet, but you will know in the future. When my father passed, I was just 14 years. I felt the world literally came to an end because I never had to pray for my school fees. My dad was quite influential. He just picked his phone and got jobs for people. He didn't even go there, just got jobs for them. At least within our own level, we are comfortable. I will never forget the conversation I had with my dad. We were resuming school the next day. Then I said to him, we were somewhere in the garage, and I said, oh, school resumes tomorrow. He said, okay. I said, school fees. He asked me, he said, you want to go back to school tomorrow? You are telling me today. I said, but you are my dad. I mean, it didn't occur to me that I was supposed to give him notice. Then my having to tell him that school resumes tomorrow, then it occurred to me that since I've been going to school, he has never handed money over to me for my school fees. I just go in and they open the gate. So you're having to remind me, what is he really going to do for you? I got it covered. So when you look at God, you are able to develop a bias. Because you know somewhere within your soul, regardless of how anybody feels about you, God's love will not change. It's not deliverance you need. You need a revelation of His love. That's what helps us get through the day. Sometimes we have questions without, so many questions without answers, and the only reason is that somewhere within God's wisdom, it has been provided for. And that there are certain answers God will not give to you. He will walk you through that answer. Hallelujah. So while you are yet in sin, while you didn't even think you had the need for a Savior, God had prepared for you. All He asks for us is to believe in that which He has done for us. Receive it. And then see your freedom break out as the morning. That's why Paul was teaching us in Romans chapter 8, and he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul had looked at it. He looked at that day when he was flogged and he was stoned and they left him for dead. And then he looked at when he was on the high waters and he almost died and then he had to swim. Now, if God calls you as a Paul in the future, one of the things you need is swimming lessons. There are certain things in your calling that are not really the calling, but like your degree, your UIUX certificate, your knowledge of science, music. A pastor was speaking somewhere and he said, if God is asking you to be a pastor today, apart from being able to preach, you must be able to sing or play the keyboard. He said, because keyboardists will show you pepe. Because you are just somewhere in the spirit and you are so, today's going to be a great day. The guy will just send you a text message. I can't call you, has traveled. And you still have to love him when you see. So, from John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus established a standard for love. So, if somebody says, I love you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, then you need to test. If there was a decision that needed to be made about who lives or who dies, that's the standard for God. Is for God, if He gets into that project with you, it's still death. That's why it's very hard for a believer to become backslidden. It takes a willful, a major, deliberate decision to backslide. Because every time you try to go, you just find that His love is waiting there. Have you ever taken yourself and said, today I'm going to drink. I'm going to the. And you got to the bar and said, ah. And you look like a Christian. Ah, you people follow me again. Ah! Or you are going to fornicate and you went into that pharmacy there to buy something. And then the person like, bro. Say, you look like somebody I saw. There's one concert. It's not you, but something, everything around you just smelling God. You didn't know. You know, you thought you are a sinner. But when you just, everywhere goes, like, everybody just say, ah. Like, look like a child. Like, even to now say, this is what I came to buy. You say, okay, give me pastor. Okay. Wait, have you seen? Because even the way the bride looks, it's like, ah. You look like one of my friends. Why are you in a social prayer group? What? I came here to backslide. Is it? There's one church I'm in. Like, I'm the pastor. So you don't know. You think you just said today I want to be a bad boy, or like a girl that said I sang a song, bad girl or something, some years ago. All those people you want to throw away your love for Christ for because of their, it's time. Oh. It's time. A time will come. Those people will get born again. Leave you. You'll still be playing their song. Everything is time. Oh. There was a time in this country, it was, if you are younger, you don't have Walkman. There's something called Walkman. You are not, no girl is going to talk to you. because you are not even looking like your future is bright. You need a workman. You are buying battery. You still use your money to buy battery. And the battery is always running down. But it is what it is. Tiger, in those days, Tiger batteries, pin batteries. Don't let anything that is momentary define your lasting love for God. Anything that is momentary, don't give it the power to define your lasting love for God. For all things will pass away, but God will remain. Hallelujah. Now, again, not all love have the same weight when you put them on a scale. It's not the same weight. We should get to that point where we love each other, to the point where we go all out for each other. And yet we will not abuse the privilege of that love amongst ourselves. And I will come back in another series and I will talk about those who abuse love. I'll talk about manipulators. People that, because they know that you never say no, they keep asking you. The only time they send you a long message on WhatsApp is when they need money. Or some of them even pray for you. But at the end of that prayer, say, actually. And then. So there is a dimension of love where you have to say no to people. Come on, say amen. Say no to them in Jesus' name. Yeah? That's not for today. Okay? That's not for today. I'll talk to you about those who make you feel bad for not helping them. They'll make you feel bad. So if the money is so cheap, why don't you go out and work? There's one cement factory there. Carry cement on your head and block. Do it for a day or two. Then use the money. Give somebody else. You now realize that it takes God to love. It takes God. Nobody is born like this. It's the Spirit of Christ in us that is making us do what we are doing. Nobody is nice. It's the Spirit of Christ in us. Jesus considered the ability to lay your life down for your friends as the greatest standard for love. And please, when I say this, it is not the act, it is the heart. Hello? The ability to lay down your life is not necessarily in the act. It is in the heart. Because some may lay their lives down, but it's which haunt you tomorrow. Some can say, bring you out of a major problem, so they can say, if not for me. So love can be measured. So if the love is only measured when you see yourself and you are singing songs and vibing and miming, wait. If you wake up every morning and what you see is a poem on your WhatsApp. Or maybe they even convert Christian songs to love songs and send to you. The key here is sacrifice. And that's why even when we come to God in worship, all worship are not the same. They are not the same. Some people are going through a lot of pain and they come before God and they are worshiping. And they are saying, God, my heart is yours, my soul. We gaze. They are angry. They are just coming from the hospital. My heart. And you see those tears just flowing. Those are tears of unanswered questions. Someone else sitting beside you saying, bang barang, bang barang, bang barang, bang barang. I say, hey, Michael, raise this thing, raise it. We are all worshiping. One is bringing his pain to his worship. One can only worship when things are fine. It can't be the same. When I was in Trem, when I used to attend Trem, a brother in our church, an elderly man, lost his wife. He lost the wife on Saturday. The pastor went to visit him. The woman had been sick for a while. And on Sunday, the man came with his children, sat in front. I've never seen that kind of thing. You expect those kind of people to stay at home, you know, be together. The pastor had to make a comment on that. See, he asked the man, why did you come? The man said, when she was sick, I couldn't come. I stayed with her. The maker has called her. I need to come and stand before God and say, thank you for the 20-something years we spent together. That's all. I say, ha. And I was sitting behind the man. I froze. I wasn't mad. I froze. Like, what kind of faith in God is this? I mean, what is this? It's not the kind of faith where sometimes you say, God, but I prayed. God! Where are you? Say, I'm here. God, I fasted, I prayed, I cried. Those things are necessary. But don't just do it small and advise yourself. So God will not get angry. What's this? God, just keep quiet. I'm looking at you. Say, God. Is it your father? You are pointing to your father, not me. Say, God. Okay, so what? Okay, arrest me now. Go to court. If every believer believed there was life after death, why are we crying the way we are crying? The only problem is that this is the breadwinner of the family. Most people are crying more out of poverty than out of even missing the person. I sat with people and they say, well, he's gone. We are not really close. But I have to behave like I'm sad because... When they come and say, it's just drama. Just African magic. It's just something you have to do to give an impression. When you really love somebody, you can't hold it. When we lost our friend Dr. Gwi, I couldn't weep for like 3 days. By the time I got to the office, Ecobank on Monday, we were in a Monday business meeting. Then they asked me to talk. I just burst into tears. I didn't know what came. I just burst into tears. What's the problem? I just burst into tears. Nobody saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. But I'd been bottling up. Because it that was the day it occurred to me what I lost. God's love for you is a personal thing. You've got to understand it. God is not like loving us. He loves us, but he loves you. God will not take your matter. Go and tell him that. You need to understand this. God's relationship with you is a personal one. Your relationship with God is not special because you attend a kind of church. You may be in a kind of church and your name has been deleted from the main register. It has to sink that while you are yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. God looked at you that, this brother that is always taking 3 packs of cigarette every day, 2 years' time, you'll be a child of God. So when others are praying, die. God will say, you are wasting your time. This one is my servant. If God was a Nigerian, Paul would have, that encounter on Damascus, Paul would have died there. Then people come and share testimony and say, that man that was troubling us in Maryland, the strong man is dead. Then we'll do the flyer for the next month. The strong man must come down. Attacking your attackers. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to be sure that both you and God, you are saying the same thing. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18. You know, I told you people that during that fast, I will not talk. First John 3:18. Say, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in what? in words only or in tongue. I love you. I built you to the end of this world. Then later you go to the hospital, they say, oh, she has one amen. And something, you just notice the brother is not calling, it's not flashing, it's not texting, it's not chatting, because he heard something. Or the lady say, when I was 16, I had an abortion. Oh, wow, praise God. Wow. No, but that was my former life. I'm in Christ now. So your mind was like, she might have damaged that womb. You are an investor now. You are now looking at. Say, Pastor, I don't know what I did to Mark. I don't know what I did to my stop calling. I say, is this your love that is working? You told him. So you cannot hold. You just see everything. Now the brother is not calling again. Something you've not even discussed with God, you are telling man. All this brother Mark, brother Lucian, brother Robert, Lucas, check them very well. See, let us not love in word. It's easy for anybody to say, I love you. It's easy for anybody to say, I'll be there with you. But how many of you know that every time love is tested, it's always at a time when you need to make sacrifice? Every time love is tested, it is never at a convenient time. Somebody gives you 10,000. Don't shout amen. Like you, because that may be the last 10,000. Don't say, oh, God has provided. Ask the person, do you have transport fare to go home? Our love will be tested to death. In the days of Emperor Nero, Christians who are being killed and fed to lions in a kind of gladiator stadia mode of, you know, it was a brutal killing, and many Christians were asked to give up their fellow Christians to get their life back. We have not gotten there. We are getting close. Late last night, as I was about to go to bed, I was just listening to some worship, and you should try it. It's good for your health. Listen to some good ones. Get your nice headset. Don't buy the cheap ones. So. They're very good ones. If Paul, the apostle, had all these headsets, he would have become an angel by now. All these tools. And then I saw in the spirit, I saw an angel with a horn over Nigeria. I saw an angel over Nigeria and he had a very powerful horn. But it was his declaration that got me interested. The angel said, based on the intercession of the saint, the decree has been made for mercy. And God has approved that an allocation of mercy, and that mercy in the days to come will first be preceded by judgment. So you have it. So this one is not your vote. It is the angel of the Lord that will visit this land and execute judgment before mercy. So you can take this one to Insta blog. And let's wait and see. So there are certain things that don't answer to love. They answer to intercession. So learn how to pray. The next time you tell somebody, I'm going to help you, live up to your expectation. Don't do it because you want anybody to come to your house and be saying thank you. And no. Do it because the spirit of Christ is in you. Say, let us not love in word. No, it's cheap. Anybody can post anything on social media. Have you seen people post on WhatsApp? Oh, the best to the best. You are the best person I've ever met. It's like every month, people just post things about their friends. Oh, you are an angel. You are this. I say, so, which all these people, these who are killing their husbands and going to, where are they coming from? Even the person that the mother mentally and physically abused her as a child, is posting on Facebook, happy birthday to the best mom in the world. So who is creating all the problem in Nigeria if everybody is this, you know, fantastic? Especially ladies to women to women, when you see the way they post about their friends, you are wondering like, wow, wow, she's such an angel. How can you are more than a friend? I say, so if she's more than a friend, so what about Jesus? More than a friend. Say, let us all love in words. It's just in Yoruba they say, I don't want to say it in Yoruba because of our foreign audience, but there's a way that I don't want to use it. I don't want to say it in Yoruba, but how do you say? Just mere talk. Just mere talk. You don't mean it. You don't mean it. You like this guy, but because you see he has some prospects, you don't really like him. You don't like him because he's tall. If you marry a guy because of his height, then something's wrong with you. Yeah. Say God is saying this to us, but I say, Pastor, you know, because of his height, stay there. Even self, it's not compulsory for everybody to marry. Not compulsory, it's a choice. Oh, I love you as such an angel. You are just God sent. I don't know what I would have done if you were not here. Empty words. In fact, God says for every idle word that will speak, will be what? Will be judged for it. 11 p.m., 12 p.m. Hey, are you there? Confession time, eh? Say, hey, are you there? I can't sleep. I can't sleep. Just empty words. Now there's a decision on who will die or live. The brother has deleted your number. He has blocked you. That was not loving words. Oh my God. It's easy for anybody to say I love you because the conditions are right. They are favorable. When she adds weight in the future, can you come out and say I like them big? Yeah. When the brother used to be so fine, but he has been on 100 days fasting and prayer, and he's now looking like a skeleton. Empty words. When he loses his job, all of a sudden from 750,000 to zero kobo, and you are the one having to provide, can you allow him still be the head of the house? Most ladies can, a lot of ladies cannot marry anybody that is not ahead of them. They don't even want partner. They don't want to be at par. You must be ahead, so because they know they won't respect you. They know they won't respect you. Let us not love with words and tongue only. Empty words. Not in our midst as children of God. The moment you say it, you've got to mean it. God will mean it. Hallelujah. Jesus established from the first scripture I read when he said, greater love has no man. And Jesus was the one who also laid his own life down for us, which means Jesus established himself as the pattern for love. When Jesus made that statement, he wasn't talking about us, he was talking about himself. Greater love has no man than this. He was talking about himself. So when you want to determine or try to sort in your mind how you should respond in a matter, then you need to look at Christ. That's what he's saying. You know how Jesus felt having warned Peter that Peter was going to deny him. And Peter still did it thrice. And Jesus showed up after result and didn't talk about it. There's a lot of mental maturity, emotional maturity. Well, let me just say this one. The thing where God take pass us, not be here. If not be this one where they talk, it's just they talk because everything they okay. Have you ever lived in a house where no matter how much you fumigate the house, mosquitoes must stick off? Then you ask yourself, so what's going on here? It's like the house is possessed. Have you ever been close to a guy or a lady or somebody that you really thought was really cool, and then as you got close to them, your respect for them diminished? Now, where love comes in is that you choose to see the person the way you've always known him. And it's vice versa. It's not a male problem. It's a human problem. Jesus is the pattern. And you see, the idea about walking in love and loving as Christ loved is not really an empty... Jesus is not making that statement as an empty, you know, just trying to talk. Jesus is not just trying to talk. Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 11 verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Don't learn from the man of God, learn of me. When you are listening to a message, you must be hearing Christ. It's okay to have an encounter and see angels and go to heavenly realm. Because sometimes when I listen to some people, they make me feel like we are not God's children at the same level. Because they see archangels. All those things are just spectacular experiences. The level ground for everybody is the love of God. God doesn't have special children. Come on. Say amen. Amen. Even if he fasts for 3 years, a young guy fasts for 3 years, and by twitching his finger can raise the dead. Those are special abilities. It is never a pointer to who God loves more. I wish somebody heard that. Let me bring it down. When I stand here and I'm prophesying, and some of you are like, wow, 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 this is powerful, and I'm prophesying. Sometimes you wish to be me. What you don't even know is that for me to be able to prophesy, I have to get out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to take over that body. That's what many people don't know. And there's a brother there, just sits and say, amen, I receive it, I receive it. What I am doing is based on assignment. But our status as sons is equal. Even if he gave his life to Christ 200 years before he did. Paul is not better than you. Peter is the same Holy Ghost. The difference is how we now maximize the grace of God in our lives. But in terms of status, as sons, we are equal. So you can actually start from where you are and grow your relationship with God. If you are someone trying to develop a prayer life and you are listening to somebody that prays 5 hours every day, you will never have a prayer life. A prophet can tell you, praying 5 hours every day, 12 a.m. to 5 a.m. And all you are hearing is, oh my God, how shall these things be? Then you hear an apostle say, no, to climb into the realm of God's throne, 7 hours. So you now come to our verse word. That church that the pastor they pray for everybody. You now see now. May I now tell you that, look, as a pastor, it is the prophet's job to tell you to pray for 5 hours. And it is the apostle's job to tell you to pray for 10 hours. But as a pastor, I'm interested in the process. So I'll tell you, start from 30 minutes. So our target is by year end, you should be able to do 3 hours, 4 hours, consistently. Some people pray for 5 hours this week. They won't be able to pray again for another 3 weeks because the life force in them is gone. They are gone. They can't even if they want to pray, it's the mind. The mouth can't. So why not do 30 minutes consistently? God is in the consistency. It's not in the... I don't know if somebody is hearing me. I'm saying that let's focus on the process. Start from 15 minutes if you don't know how to pray. Let the fuel for prayer is the revelation of God's love. When you know that praying is like you are spending time with your Father. You are not storming the gates of hell. You are spending time with your Father. That's why you can come before God's presence And you can spend the first 30 minutes and you're just worshiping him. It's part of the prayer. Come on now. It's part of the prayer. It's not like what they told me when I first became a Christian. That 30 minutes of you sang, you are just wetting the ground. The brother will now do his hand like this. See, you are wetting the ground. Then now we want to pray. Once you start praying, you just begin. Prayer started. And the ability to keep talking for 2 hours without even breathing is what even lets us know you are a pro. You're a pro. Yeah. Brother Anthony. Prayo. Brother Michael. Always on fire. Then they say, where their eyes look. It's almost completely closed. Shut. Those ones that their eyes are very open, go to Bible study. Those of us that one eye is one, say, come to prayer. Come on, say, process. Loving someone is also a process. Because you're only able to love God based on what you know about him. For instance, this is the third part of this meeting, of this message, and I'm still telling you, you've got to see love from God's perspective. Don't see it from how you feel. Look at it from how God sees you. And that is in his word. So that nobody, you won't go to a place and they'll be telling you how spiritual husband. I'm married to Christ. But because you don't know, they will sell something else to you and make you pay for it. Like that prophet that wanted to prophesy for me, that white garment prophet. And I told him, if you try it, you will never see a vision in your life again. I wanted him to give him money. He didn't. I was even a junior prophet then. No? Junior. You know, there's junior, there's senior. Then there's major one. I'm just passing by. So when your wife is making you angry, or that wonderful girl you said you want to get married to, what love tells you is, don't say anything yet, because anything you say now, you will be angry. You will say something you will regret. So love says, be quiet. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 told us, love vaunted not itself. Love is patient. Love is kind. So we will get there. But I'm just saying, love is now broken down into daily steps. Steps by the minute. You are expecting your food to be ready. It's not ready. You begin to shout and you begin to scream. Meanwhile, you don't even know how to mix Maggi and salt. So we have your... Amen. I know who I am in Christ. No, you don't know where the thing is. There was a day I asked for salt in my house, and I didn't know, you know, there was white Omo. I just poured it into my rice. White Omo. There was a day I had some, you know, this green bar soap that we use in washing clothes. It was in the kitchen and it fell into a cup of water. So I thought it was a smoothie. The thing had dissolved. Now, if you like, keep treating your wife anyhow. You will drink poison. You will see. You will drink poison. Very soon you will drink poison. I just washed my hands. It was a plate of something. You know, I had to wash my hands. I just took the thing. Everything. That my saving grace then as a young boy was that was when I read the scripture, when they drink any poison. I'm telling you, I read that scripture last week. This week, I'm already drinking poison. As a young boy, whoever did that evil work in my house, I'm sure it was a mistake, but the thing had dissolved, that means the soap had been there for a while. But because some of us don't go there, we don't know. We just see smoothie. Before they ask who kept it, I've drank it. It was when the thing got to my throat, I realized what I had done. I started invoking Mark chapter 16. When they take any poison, it shall not hurt them. To even come out and say, this is what I did, I could not talk. I just kept quiet. I went to sit down in the dining parlor. I just kept like, maybe today is the last day. Before you shout again, before you point accusing finger, ask yourself, how would Christ want me to approach this matter? And please, don't be so self-righteous. Anybody can be on the other side of the law. If you have received love consistently from someone, have you ever thought of reaching out to them through your prayers? This is a question. Have you ever thought of giving them gifts or telling others how such a person has been a blessing to you? The beautiful thing is when they do it and you just find out. Not like they are compelled. Somebody recommended you and you got a promotion or something happened in the office. Have you ever thought of going to them to say thank you? Even though they will tell you, it's God. Still say it. Are you here? So nobody, you have love you have, but nobody can see it. It's what you do that makes us know whether you are the son of God or the son of Satan. Today, go back, take your phone list. Everyone that has been a blessing to you, send them a message. Buy them a gift. Don't assume that it was God that did it. God, hey, stop it. God did it, but they did it. God did it, but he used somebody. Don't block the channels for your future by saying, I give God all the glory. Hey! Thank God. Appreciate men. It may be a word of advice somebody will give you, and that thing can save you a lifetime of pain in your business. Give glory to God, but learn to say thank you to men. Don't be entitled. You may have love in your heart. You love Jesus. Every time you pray, the glory of God is always in your room. But you are the only one seeing it. All we know about you is that you are an ungrateful person. There's a brother, we got a job for in the bank. The day he got the letter was the last day I saw him. 8 years now. So I was privileged to see him in a meeting somewhere. And I had to remind myself I was a Christian. Bro, how are you? God bless you. It's been a while. I didn't talk about it. When you are ungrateful or you don't do certain things, you are not just being, you are blocking the channel for others to be blessed. Because if somebody now wants to help, you say, the last person I helped. Helping people is not about prayer. It's about giving. You are giving love, you are giving assistance, you are giving counsel, you are giving effort. Effort. Let's carry it together. So go home and remember everyone that has been a blessing to you recently, as many as the Holy Spirit will help you. Send them a message, call them, thank them. Some of them, you don't even have what you can do for them. You can't give them money because they have more money than you. Buy a recharge card. 3,000, 5,000. Send it to them. Because if you give them 3,000, what will they do with it? They will even now give you 20,000. Be grateful. Love has a body language. Love has what? A body, a very strong body language. It doesn't use perfume. The aura around love is strong enough. A lot of healing and restoration would happen in our midst. Only if we make a decision to walk in love towards each other. Don't treat people the way they deserve to be treated. Receive grace to treat them the way Christ would have treated them. With grace, with mercy. Don't forgive somebody because they said I'm sorry. Forgive them because you are Christ. It releases you, it frees you, sets you free. Hallelujah. Love is only powerful when God is at the center of it. Love is only retains his redeeming power to give life when God is at the center of it. Every other thing is emotion. an emotion is like the wind. It blows in every direction. First John chapter 4 verse 7. As we round up. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Is born of God. Is a child of God. Dwells in the womb of God and was given birth to by the Holy Ghost. Is born of God. Is of God. Has the seal of God over his head. Anyone that loves, it's a decision. My decision. To walk in love towards you. Many homes will be wonderful homes if the couple saw Christ in each other. Not loving based on the good behavior of this person or the good behavior of that person. No. Just looking at this person and say, I see Christ in you. So I will, if I were to assess you based on your attitude and behavior, I will walk out. But if I look at you and say, this is Christ. Christ is in you. So I am serving you with love because I believe this is Christ. Not because you have earned it. You will free yourself from many problems. Your marriage will be wonderful and sweet. It won't be based on how the makeup looks. He said that loveth is born of God and he knows God. Not Greek and Hebrew. Not the ability to speak fine words like a wordsmith. Not the ability to preach for 3 hours. You may preach but not know him. He said that works in love is heaven's standard for who knows God. I don't know if that sank. God's standard of who can lay claim to, I am a friend of God, I know God, is the man that loves his neighbors, that loves God. Do you realize that when Jesus spoke about the last day, he didn't say how many of you were jumping up and down. He said, when I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was in prison, you didn't deliver me. You came to check on me. You brought paracetamol for me. When I had no shoe to wear, you brought slippers. Jesus said, come into the reward of your Father. When Jesus comes, he will not count how many messages I have preached. He will look at my love life. When Jesus comes, he will not look at where you sat down in church. He will look at whether you demonstrated love towards him and towards your brethren. This is God's standard. Make no mistake about it. So before you speak one hurtful word to somebody this week, think about it. What would Jesus have said to this person? Maybe it's even better for you to keep quiet. Think Christ if you must walk in love. Let's rise on our feet. Pray for yourself and receive grace to walk in love. Pray for yourself, receive grace, receive grace, receive grace.